What's up, people? It's May the 7th. It's May the 7th, 2020. May the 7th, baby. Yeah. May the 7th, 2020, and I'm just sitting here in Little Saigon, Seattle at around, I don't know, it's 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, drinking elegant coffee provided to me by a fine gent someplace further east in the mountains of wherever you call it. He knows who he is, that fine listener giving me that fine Colombian coffee. And I am thankful to all my listeners who can send me all sorts of strange things I can use to fashion weapons or even to think about fashioning weapons. If you're wondering about that crackling noise you hear and the blowing and fuck, well, that's because that's the volcano vape bag, and I'm currently just taking a hiatus from giving a fuck about a lot of things, including audio quality. I know my audio quality could be terrible because I'm holding on to a vape bag and playing my shitty-ass Casio SA-76. It's shitty, man. But it's shitty and it's okay because that's life in the big shitty. I live in the big shitty, baby. Yes. Indeed, I live in the city of Possibilicus, where all the creatures of Phantom Zone 12 can live amongst us. Yeah, I just saw somebody post something about what they would open up, you know. They tweeted something on Twitter. If they lived in Ancapistan, what kind of a business would they open? And you know, I thought about that too. And of course, it would have to be something that uses the letters ATF. It would have to be something like Uncle Dan's Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Or rather, Uncle Dan's ATF Discount Shop. One place you can go to get your alcohol, your tobacco, your firearms, your chainsaws, your chainsaw blades, and gasoline, clearly, and bacon. Yes, we'll have bacon and jalapenos. We'll sell 5.56 and bacon and jalapenos, and every 10-year-old kid gets a chainsaw on their birthday. That's right, every 10-year-old kid gets a chainsaw and a gallon of gasoline and a couple sticks of dynamite on their birthday at Uncle Dan's Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. And I know you'd say, Dan, you can't give 10-year-old kids, you know, chainsaws and gasoline and dynamite. And my only response to that is, says who? Says the government? Well, yeah. I think that they do that all the time, actually. I would make the argument, in as compelling a way as possible, that the government hands out weapons and bombs to little kids all the time overseas as part of their clandestine operations involving toppling some fucking country that just had a vote about who gets the lithium. It's like, hey, there's a lot of lithium in that ground, Mr. President, and my mobile devices need the lithium, you fuck. Can you give those 10-year-old kids about 50 pounds of C4 and get a little battle going here? Click. That's right, war is a racket, like Smedley Butler said. It's a racket, but it's the kind of racket that, you know, fuck, I don't care. But anyways, yeah, at Uncle Dan's Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, every 10-year-old kid on their birthday gets a chainsaw, a gallon of gasoline, and a couple sticks of dynamite. And of course, the parents get to decide. So if you don't want your kids getting the chainsaw or the dynamite or gasoline, or better yet, taking it on their behalf to give to them one day, which will probably be never, because hey, yeah, just be a parent is all I say.
So, Dad,
aren't you supposed to be the parent for me? No. It turns out that when you have a kid, and this is the corollary of why the government doesn't have a right to take your kid. It turns out that when you have a kid, it's kind of your fucking responsibility to take care of them. If you don't want them having dynamite, if you don't want them getting a free chainsaw, or maybe even a bottle of whiskey along with their gallon of gasoline, then don't take them on their 10th birthday to Uncle Dan's alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. Just don't. Any glumptus freak from Sector 96 can tell you that. Anyone who knows the heartbeat of the city, the shitty life, the life of the city and the people that live here, can tell you that you're responsible for your kid, you fuck. Doesn't mean neighbors can't show concern, though. So if you're a neighbor, it's good to show concern. But really, mostly that's about making sure they don't drown in your pool, you know? You really don't want your neighbor's kids drowning in your pool because no matter what the cause was, you're going to get the blame. So be a good neighbor and make sure kids don't drown in your pool. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know, man. I'm kind of all over the place with this conversation about the impossibility of Uncle Dan's alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, but I still feel like in America we used to dream. Like, can't we have a dream that this could be possible? That maybe I too could have something? That'd be nice. As I empty my vape bag of, I think it's Jesus OG is what it is. It's a strong sativa. Sativa dominant hybrid. A Jesus OG from Legends. I also mixed it with some hash plant from Legends. We'll call it hash plant Jesus, or maybe just hash Jesus, you know? Or hashtag Jesus. Hashtag Jesus. Just as we should remember, I'm a Christian, but I'm not a great one. So if you say, Dan, you shouldn't take the Lord's name in vain while you're vaping weed, the Lord and I both know this. We know many things about what I shouldn't do, including, you know, what I shouldn't do while vaping weed. But there's nothing wrong, just to state this for the record, about giving a 10-year-old kid some dynamite and some gasoline and a chainsaw. And if you feel like that's a problem, I think you've got the problem. It's almost a kind of test, really. It's like in the olden days, they would say, 10-year-old kid, go into the woods and try to survive for 3 days, and if you can come back, you get to continue on your journey, and if you don't, if the grizzly bear takes you, it was nice knowing you, kiddo. That's how it used to be. You'd leave your kid in the woods for 3 days when they were 10, and if they made it back, that was great. If they don't make it back, it's pretty terrible, but you have another kid. That's what that's for. So I'm not really proposing anything that radical. I'm really just saying that why wouldn't you give your kid a chainsaw and a gallon of gasoline and a couple sticks of dynamite on their 10th birthday? Because it is a kind of test. If they make it to their 11th birthday, I'd say they passed a significant test. And yeah, maybe something bad happens. But something bad happens all the time, people. I don't know. Maybe I'm pushing this too far. I mean, it's not right to give kids explosives and chainsaws, but our government does shit like that. That's something you guys should keep in mind. For all the prohibitions they have, when it comes to clandestine black operations type shit, there's no limit to what our government won't do. And they'll say, well, it's for national security. We're trying to save people. It's like selling crack in Los Angeles back in the 80s. We're just trying to help people. It's an Iran cocaine for hookers, for communists, for, you know, General Manuel Noriega thing. It's just to help people, the selling of crack in Los Angeles. It's not bad. We don't mean anything bad when we, you know, help traffic people across borders and we fly people to places that have terrible records in torture because, hey, we don't torture. No, we just outsource the torture. We just fly people to Saudi Arabia so that they can have their testicles hooked up to a field phone. Yeah. So you can complain all you want to about Uncle Dan's alcohol, tobacco, firearms, bacon, superstore that also sells chainsaws. And yeah, that's a long name. Fuck you. It's going to be a great store. Great store. People will come from miles. Miles away to come to this store. Yeah, I'm just drinking a little coffee there and listening to what's going on in the out in the hallway of my apartment because there's noises. Who knows what's going on out there? People walk about this place, man. There's all kinds of strange folk that visit where I live. You can't really know where they're from. It's month to month, so it's like, who lives month to month but a hobo or a drifter like me? You could say young people, but no, I don't know. Yeah, I guess young people live month to month, right? It's what you do now, though. You live month to month. You exist for the moment until the tidal wave of impossibility comes along and pulls you under, and then you're buried under thousands of years of sediment and slime and dog poop. And that's just life. And I think people need to be more accepting of it, really. I mean, isn't life kind of this amalgam of just crap? Isn't it really just layered shit? At least this fucking lockdown is. This lockdown is so fucked. It is terrible. It is sucking the life out of everything. It's like this podcast. I'm doing it while I'm vaping. That's wrong. You know, I was thinking today, I had this question in my mind about the whole not giving a shit. Like, I don't actually believe I'm going to get any unemployment benefits because I don't think I deserve to get them. But truly, I'm applying my morality to a broken system. So that's flawed reasoning to begin with. But my brother convinced me that I should file for unemployment, even though technically I don't think I should qualify. I don't want to go into why, but I don't think I should. Anyways, I did that. I did that a couple weeks ago. And then last weekend, I was all like, fuck this. I haven't gotten my free money yet. And believe me, I was pissed off at myself because why did I give a fuck? How did I let this cargo cult bullshit seep into me? Where's my free money? Where's my free cashola? It's depressing. It's sickening. I'm not saying don't take it, especially if you have kids. If you have a family, it's really only getting back some of the money, some of the opportunity, some of the existence that they've stolen from you. So listen, if you're asking yourself, should I take it? Should I take the money from the Mnuchin? Should I take the unemployment? Yes, do it. Absolutely do it. This is not a speech against doing that. Plus, I'd be a big-ass hypocrite. I don't have kids. I don't have a dog. I don't have a cat. I guess you could say there are a lot of living creatures in my apartment. But, I mean, they're mostly microorganisms. And I don't think they care much about me, and I don't care much about them. So they wouldn't really classify as pets, you know. I know some people, well, what about bacteria? Would bacteria, that's like a line from the Fargo TV series, you know, would bacteria count as pets? Maybe. If a colony of bacteria or fungus reached a state of self-awareness and began talking to me, then I think I would be obliged to be, to consider that thing, you know, that life on the wall of my bathroom or something. I'd be obliged to have a conversation. And maybe we develop a friendship, you know? Maybe I would come to think of this bacteria as my friend, I don't know, Polymbuli. Polymbuli, my friend to the end. I thought I was alone in the world to die, but then came along Polymbuli, my fungal friend, to the very end. I thought I was old, disgusting, and nasty, but then came along the mold. Then came along the mold called Polymbuli. Now I don't feel so old. Polymbuli. Yeah, I guess maybe if there was a fungal colony that I developed a connection to. But where am I going? I'm simply saying this, okay? If you are wondering, should you take the fucking cash or not? I wouldn't worry about it. I wouldn't treat it like a situation where somehow you're doing something wrong. I think the more accurate description is you're getting back some of what was stolen. The reason why I'm kind of having issues around it are a couple. One, if they followed rules, like I said, I don't think I should get any of it. But then again, there's so much corruption going on right now, and there's been so much corruption going on in the system my whole life, that this whole notion of me focusing on these rules is kind of stupid. They don't follow their own rules. They don't care about them. They do not care about their own rules. That is what I would say. They don't care about their own rules, so why do I? But I was thinking about the check, because if in fact they do give me this magical money, the amount of money they've said they would give me seems ridiculous. And if I do get this ridiculous money, I've decided, yes, I'm going to pay for food and water and shelter. I should do that. That is only the right thing to do. And yes, I will probably, I don't know, take care of some other stuff. But what if I just decide to just take my not giving a shit to the nth degree and simply spend the next few weeks or months just doing nothing? Like, I've done that kind of. But then a few months ago, I thought, you know, I'm going to work on the writing some more and get more serious about the podcast. And when the virus hit, I kind of just thought, well, this is it. What's the point? Whatever happens next is going to be worse. I still stick to that contention, and I don't want to make you feel bad, but if all of a sudden the American people get back their dignity and start walking around in mass, it's going to happen. People are going to just leave their fucking apartments. If that happens, my expectation is they're simply going to have another sort of terrible flying monkey ready to go. And no, I don't think it's the Chinese wasp. I mean, as furiously horrible as the Chinese wasp is. Mom, what's that? Mom, what's that? Well, Sonny boy, I don't know. Let's go get your dad. 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 Dad, what's that? It's some kind of a swarm of something, son. I don't know. It's some sort of a, oh my God. Is that someone's dog being there? It's picking, honey, it's picking up their dog. It's picking up their dog and they're dropping it. Oh my God. Now they're going after the neighbors. Yeah, I don't know, folks. I don't think the Chinese wasp is going to be the next flying monkey. I think it's an appetizer. It's an appetizer monkey. It's not the monkey. The monkey's probably going to be worse than... It's got to be something that's going to keep people scared to death. It could very well be COVID-19 Part 2, where they release a much more dangerous bioweapon or something. It could be that. I don't know why they wouldn't do that, because they seem to love to stick to a plot line until they've killed it. It could also be something else. It could be, holy shit, we're at war with China. We're at war with China. We're at war with China. Someone call the Chinese war police. Yeah, I don't know. It could be that the Chinese are discovered to be drilling giant tunnels underneath America to place nuclear weapons. And since probably almost no one has ever seen the movie Battle Beneath the Earth, they won't even think about it, you know. But I don't think that'll be it. But something is going to pop out, you know. And so the question is, do I give a shit, or do I use that stimulus check to basically drink beer and vape weed and not give a shit? And again, there are arguments to be made on both sides. There's the argument where you can say, Dan, you know, you're 50, but you're not dead yet. Don't give up on the human race. There's, you know, the sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow, you know, they'll do that bullshit. Or they'll do, there's got to be a morning after if we can hold on through the night. Yeah, they'll do that to you too. Well, there doesn't have to be a morning after. And you know, the sun might come out tomorrow. These are things you need to consider in this situation. One of the topics I was going to talk about before I went off on a tangent about whether I should just sit around drinking beer was the notion of fragility. And I tweeted this, and I've said this, and I'll keep saying it. If we actually had a free enterprise type economy before this COVID bullshit, there would have been no switch to turn it off. Okay, there are no switches in free enterprise. You don't find the master switch and go, okay, turn it off. In theory, you could tell everyone that there is a state of martial law. You could certainly have a curfew. But there would be no magical switch. Just like in real free enterprise, there's no magical money machine like the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is bullshit. It is a cheating, as in you're a cheater. It's a cheating mechanism. 100% cheating mechanism for people that really already have billions for the most part, and they simply want everything. They want all of it. It's for cheaters. Actual free enterprise does not have a switch on off. It doesn't. It really doesn't. But neo-Stalinistic hellholes like the United States of America is today, they do have those switches. They have the on-off switches that you can say, well, we just need essential workers to show up and everyone else can hang out until when? And this is not a sign of strength either. Before you say, well, it must be a powerful system if they can turn it off. No, that doesn't mean what you think it means. It's not a sign of strength. It's actually a huge sign of weakness within the system. If people had common sense, they would see that the existence of these switches is a sign of fragility. In fact, they would see the existence of the Federal Reserve as a sign of fragility. And they would ask the question, okay, you turned it off. Can you turn it back on again? Yeah, you have a switch, a giant switch, on off. You turned the economy, you turned commerce, you turned human interaction off, and now you're gonna magically turn it on, or better yet, you know, like states like Illinois or Texas, they're gonna turn it on, but in these incremental fucked up ways. Well, you can open your business, but you can only be at 25% capacity. Okay. Who enforces the 25% capacity rule? And is that a job? Is that a new kind of job? Because clearly, it seems like that's what they want us to do. They want us to all take jobs as contact tracers, or what I would call the Kevin Bacon army. How many degrees are you removed from Kevin Bacon? That's the Kevin Bacon army. So you have contact tracers, but you're also going to need people who go around verifying capacity in these restaurants and stores. Oh, you're above 25%. We're taking the ceiling, not the floor, on the fraction, so fuck you. You may have thought you were like 25.5, but we take the ceiling, not the floor. That's what I meant to say. We take the ceiling, not the floor. So it's 26%, and you get a fine for $50,000 or some bullshit like that. Who in their right mind is going to do that job? Who in their right mind wants somebody to do that job? So these, even if Texas is opening up and Illinois is trying to open up, the way they're doing it, it's stupid and it's very fragile. The impact of taking what I have called neo-Stalinism, because it really is, the way that central banks have planned the world economy is very Stalinist. It's very much like the five-year plan bullshit. It may not be exactly like picking how many tractors get produced, but it's almost as bad because they're basically picking the value of your work in the present and the future. That's way more global than just picking tractors. This is where Stalin screwed up. You know, Stalin could have had a central bank and fuck, he would have been rolling in it. He would have been rolling in it like McGillicuddy, but no, he wanted to pick tractors. How many tractors? No, no, no. You want to rip people off? You really need to start a bank there, Joe. You really need to start a bank. You want to rip people off, Joe? Start a bank. This is the riddle. Is I don't think that people have come to understand the truth behind this. And it's the riddle or the mystery or the conundrum. That any economy that you could turn off like this, could you really turn it back on again without, you know, smelling a little smoke and hearing the gears grind? And in this context, what I'm describing is that these logistical systems, they just don't turn on and off, and turning them back on could be just as crazy as shutting them down in the first place. Not to mention the fact that whatever world trade existed before, again, kind of neo-Stalinist world trade, that trade is kind of in a bad state right now. You add to that issues around petroleum and oil pricing, the whole thing looks like a fucking mess. And so we're going to turn the economy back on. The only thing we could do that would possibly help us at this point is the one thing that our rulers, and I mean rulers, not leaders, our rulers would never let us do, and that is have actual free enterprise. An actual free economy at this moment in time would solve all the problems, including dealing with, you know, people getting sick from infections. Because if you truly believe that a free people want to die of plagues, you really don't understand people. They don't. And you don't have to have some authoritarian bullshit to deal with an epidemic. This is not the case. You don't have to do that. You could even argue that the tyranny is worse for managing an epidemic because it forces people underground, okay? People don't want to go to hospitals. People don't want to see your fucking magical Kevin Bacon army contact tracer. In fact, what they'll do is they'll just kill the person and dump their body someplace. This is what happens when you do this kind of status crap. You force people underground. Well, guess what? When you force people underground during an epidemic, you're forcing people to do things they wouldn't normally do, including some things that would be quite terrible. You know, it's kind of like in California telling a motel owner that they have to house homeless people. Listen, I care about the state of the homeless people, but if you think this helps homeless people, you do not understand the problem. This will simply create a massive amount of antagonism, and the most likely result, given a lot of cops own property, the most likely result of forcing a motel owner to house the homeless is that a lot of homeless just start disappearing. And no one's going to care. I'm sorry. Most people in America at this point that I've met, especially in the cities, they don't give a shit. They would just as soon see the homeless people shipped someplace, you know, to some type of a camp where they could be concentrated. Free societies, free economies don't have on-off switches. So if you want to understand how broken your society is, understand they threw a switch a few weeks ago and mostly everything turned off. That is the part of the economy that has to go away. The part of the economy that you can turn on and off like that needs to go away. I'm not saying what it did needs to go away. I mean the institutions that you could turn on and off need to go away. We need to have, it's not a want. We really need to have liberty in order to survive the problems of existence. Listen, life is a fucking mess. Life is crazy. Life is sometimes too much for one person to endure. But in a free economy, lots of people are trying to solve problems, and they're not doing it with guns pointed at their heads. They're doing it because they want to. And yeah, they might also make a buck. What's wrong with that? If it's an honest buck, people will buy their product. If it's a dishonest buck, all things being equal in a free economy, that business will go out of business or worse. So if you think that somehow there's no regulation in free enterprise, I think you're very confused. And if you think that the current system is regulated in any meaningful way, which means that the crooks and the criminals have no real power over the system and power to do their crimes and corruption, you're so full of shit. Best case scenario, what we're going through right now is the single greatest robbery in the history of the world. That's the best case scenario. Quadrillions are being stolen. And they're telling you to stay inside and don't hang out with people. Because God forbid you have a conversation about how they turned off the economy and then they ripped you off. That would be, you know, a horrible conversation to have, especially in a group. Especially if that group, you know, happens to have some weapons. You know, if that group happens to have some rifles and whatnot, that conversation doesn't go well. And to all you fuckers, well, Dan, you can't fight the system any longer with weapons. Tell that to the people of fucking Afghanistan. What's possible? What low-tech is, what a people with low-tech can do if they're really pissed off. Because guess what? For the second time in a number of decades, they're kicking out another empire. So please, tell me how having a rifle doesn't help, you stupid fuck. Anywho, let's get back to adults again, should we? Shall we? Yeah, so anyways, I just wanted to vent about that a bit, rant about that a bit, just so we're clear. if you thought we had free enterprise before this, you need to know that the best proof that we didn't is that they could do this. And we need to end this Stalinist bullshit. The central banks need to go away. I don't care if it's Bitcoin or gold or silver. People should be able to choose what kind of money they use. If they don't want to use your money, guess what? That should be a choice too. So if you're one of these crypto fucks, Dan, everyone's going to use the crypto. Listen, I will use what works and I will choose to not use things I don't want to. And if you're a crypto person and you're trying to shove that bullshit down people's throats, you're just as much a fucktard as the central bankers. Just a different kind of fucktard. People must be free. They must be free to choose every tool they want to use. They must be free to create. They must be free to imagine. If we want one chance in hell to survive as a species, we must be free. It is not a nice thing to have. It is not something you give to people. It is not something you could ever possibly grant in a document. Okay? It's not something like that. We have to be free if we want to solve these problems. And as a people, you know, put into prisons, as a people being managed like we're fucking domesticated animals, we do a shitty job. And the outcomes are pretty fucking obvious, like airplanes falling out of the fucking sky. And a financial system that is so broke-ass sideways that you can have what? 30, 40% of the working population out of work, but the stock market reaches new highs. I want to know what that stock market's smoking. I think the weed it's smoking, the sativa blend, is taking it to new highs. The entire society is on the verge of collapse, but the stock market's doing well. That makes zero fucking sense, my friends. It makes about as much sense as an 84-month loan at 0%. It makes no sense. It is crazy. So I just want to just beat that dead horse, folks. If you're one of these motherfuckers, he says, well, I just wish we could go back to the way it was. Well, the way it was led to this. The way it was crony and broken and sideways. It was a central bank dystopia of crapola. What they want is to take that and take it up a notch or two. Take it to that THX 1138 level of shaving your fucking heads and having phone booth Jesus and basically everything you know comes in a fucking Petri dish. Everything you know comes in a Petri dish. So, you may or may not be aware, but I bought some hand cream. I thought it was important to, you know, get some hand cream because my hands were getting so dried out. My hands were getting so fucking dried out, and so I got some hand cream. And, you know, here's the thing. My hand cream, according to what I was looking at on the bottle now, it may contain 50% monkey sperm. That's right, half of the hand cream, 50% of it, is in fact harvested from monkeys someplace. I think there's a monkey mill or a monkey factory. They raise monkeys, they keep them in metal cages probably. Probably wrought iron cages with rusty spikes. And then the monkeys themselves are probably hooked up to some type of milking device, a lot like the devices used for cows, but these are for monkeys. Yes, indeed. 50% monkey sperm. And the thing is, it's probably really healthy monkey sperm, maybe. It's probably the kind of monkey sperm that you could only get from some fucking jungle factory somewhere in Malaysia or something. And maybe it will help my hands. I mean, my hands were getting really gross. They were cracking open. And now they're starting to heal, and I think it's because of the monkey sperm. And I don't know, maybe it's not funny to joke about this, but it's not really a joke. My hands were so dry. They were so dry, I was getting these fissures that were cutting through multiple layers of skin. It was almost as if, I think it's called separation, but there's a syndrome that happens with tissues where they won't heal and they'll continue to separate. And I had separations all through my hands, and then I saw Dr. Grunkus. And Dr. Grunkus said, "Dan, what's wrong with your hands?" And I said, "Dr. Grunkus, my hands are becoming scraggly and medieval. They are gombozoids. I wish you could just chop them off, you know. Why can't you just chop off my hands, Dr. Grunkus? Isn't that what the oath of Hippocrates says? You told me about the oath of the hypocrites. And you said you had a hypocritical oath. Don't be a hypocrite, Dr. Grunkus, and won't you just chop off my hands with that rusty ass axe over there?" And he said, "Dan," crap, here goes another helicopter if you can hear it. And he says, Dan, we don't really need to chop off your hands yet. That's a procedure for another day." Another day, another procedure. "Yes, Dan. But what you'll have to do, Dan, you'll have to listen to me." And this is where Dr. Grunk is explaining what I needed to do. I love Dr. Grunkus. He's my primary care physician. He works out of an alley in Little Saigon just after midnight on Thursday nights, which I guess makes it Friday morning. And that's what I'm saying. Dr. Grunkus is great. And he says, "Dan, no. We don't have to chop off your hands quite yet. But those fissures that are opening up in your hands right down to the layer of flesh and muscle and bone, I want you to take a little bit of the Clorox bleach toilet cleaner and irrigate and rub it in. Rub it in there and irrigate the wound. And make sure you use duct tape to cover up the wound." So if you've seen me in videos with duct tape, it's because Dr. Grunkus said that I could pour the Clorox toilet cleaner into the wound and that would help. And I just have to say, I don't think that helped really. I don't think that helped. But then I saw Dr. Grunkus again, and my hands were inflamed and bulbous and destructos. There was all sorts of parasites living in my hands at that point, maybe even a small family of rats. And Dr. Grunkus said, "Dan, maybe my recommendations before were not correct, but I have an idea. What if you just started using hand lotion?" And I said, "Isn't that just for pussies?" Well, he said it's for pussies and old people. And Dan, you're not a young man. Your body no longer manages its collagen the way it used to. You'll end up with medieval scraggly hands. No one will ever want you to touch them again, and that includes the hookers. Why don't you just get some hand cream? And I thought about it, and I got some. But he told me, he said, Dan, whatever you do, make sure you get the hand cream that does not contain monkey sperm. And I thought originally, because they don't call it monkey sperm on the fucking hand cream. Let me tell you what they call it right about here, okay? They don't really call it monkey sperm. They call it, what do they call it? Yeah. They call it tocopherol dimethicone 17. They don't call it monkey sperm, and because they don't call it monkey sperm, they get away with a lot of legal finagling and bullshit. I'd say ask the lawyers, you know, if you want to know the truth about the monkey sperm and the hand cream, ask the lawyers. Next topic. I don't know. I was going to talk about my dad. You know, my dad was a logger. He was a logger in the Pacific Northwest. When he got back from World War II and other things, he got that whole GI Bill. He got the GI Bill and he went to the University of Washington for a couple months. I'm thinking the year was 1947 or 1948. And he spent most of his time at the Blue Moon, and the Blue Moon is still there on 45th Street, I think. It's a tavern. That's where I think my dad spent most of his time. So he dropped out of school, or I should say he was kicked out of the Blue Moon, and he decided to be a logger. And maybe it wasn't what he wanted to do. Maybe it wasn't his dream. You know, he used to talk about how he wished he could be a doctor and stuff like that, and I think he would have been okay at being a doctor. He was smart enough. He just didn't go down that road. He became a logger, and he was, for whatever else he was, he's one of the toughest guys I ever knew. I mean, there was this one time this log rolled over me. Like, I was lucky. I basically jumped into one of the, they're like ditches that the skidders make, but if you don't know what a skidder is a big rubber-tired vehicle for dragging logs out of the woods. And they will make little trenches because these tires are so god-awful big and they're so fucking heavy. So they're almost like little ditches, right? Where, you know, the wheel wells they create, whatever. And so I rolled into one and the log rolled over me and then rolled back onto the logging road. And again, I was fucking up. I shouldn't have been that close to the turn. That was stupid. But I remember my dad just looking back and it was like, he was just laughing. And I don't think he wanted me to die. I just think he thought it was funny. And, you know, it horrified me, but I get it. So I set chokers up in the woods. Chokers are basically steel cables you attach to logs so that skidders or D6 cats or fucking, you know, high leads, if you have towers, can drag the logs to the landing where the logs are put on the logging truck. I don't want to say more than that because, really? You know, you can research this shit yourself. And so I would set chokers in the summertime in high school and for one or two summers when I was in college. And it was just something I was thinking about the other day. Like, that life, that world, seems so radically different from the world we're in now. You know, little things like when I was a kid, my dad would go, he would go scouting timberland. You know, to make a bid so he could log the timber. And so he would scout the land to see how good the land was. And when he would do that, he'd take me along and he'd drop me off at some little gully, some little spot where there's a stream. And I would just sit there and fish in that little pond that was made basically by the drainage, pipe. But there'd be rainbow trouts, and I would be just sitting there fishing for rainbows in that stream, in that gully. And that was one of those memories that I'd say I can't really trade that because that was kind of awesome. Just me and a fishing pole, and I don't know where my dad was. He was out there scouting timber. And it's funny because I might have been, when he first did that, I might have been 10 years old or something. Maybe I was even younger than that. Back in those days, I mean, parents still loved their kids. They just didn't need to be around them all the fucking time. And, my parents had eight kids, so I think they must have figured that you can lose one or two. It's like Dan was eaten by a bear. Dan was eaten by a bear. Dan was chewed up by a bear, honey. Don't despair. Don't despair, honey. Dan was eaten by a bear. But we're good Irish Catholics, so there's always another one where you need one there, right? Dan was eaten by a bear. Yeah, Dan was eaten by a bear. Why am I reminiscing about this shit? Well, I wonder how tough I am. I mean, I don't know that I'm very tough at all. I might be tougher than I realize. I just don't know. It's one of those things. It's like that Mighty Mighty Boston song that, and I don't know if I love that band or that song, but I've never had to knock on wood. That knock on wood sign, and it's like, I don't know. I don't know. I know that it is way more likely than not that the worst is still ahead. And I'm not trying to, again, I don't want to be a total jerk, but if you're sensing that the storm is breaking and that people are waking up to the stupidity of the virus, well, I think that's partly true, but that doesn't mean that it's over. It just means that the current flying monkey scenario is playing itself out, and it just means another flying monkey's coming. And I don't know what that flying monkey is, but based on the COVID, I don't think it's going to be good. Probably it'll be another COVID, but worse. It'll be, oh my God, people are going to work and people are going to the beach. We've got to give them another virus. I don't know. I don't know that my dad would put up with this shit. I don't know that his friends would have put up with it. It's almost like there's an entire generation of people missing. And I'm not saying there aren't tough people today. There are a lot of tough men out there, tough men and women out there, who don't want to put up with it either. But what is the line in the sand? Where is the line in the sand? It's like the woman in Texas that was arrested for having her salon open. I think her last name was Luther, but you can look it up. At some point, they're not going to let people out of jail. At some point, they're going to do things worse. And if it is a COVID part two type scenario where they release another virus or they convince us that another virus is out there, where will they stop? Why wouldn't they have a quarantine camp? And why wouldn't they put people in the camp if they test positive for coronavirus, which, given that there are so many coronaviruses and given the incompetence of testing folks, I think it's just going to mean whoever they don't like. Whoever they don't like will go to the quarantine camp. And if they're parents, your kids are going to get collected. And if your kids get collected by the system, good luck. Good luck. Best case scenario, they come back to you months later, just a little damaged. And that's like if you're really fucking lucky. Worst case, they are chewed up by the system. So I don't know what is coming next. But if you want me to tell you, oh Dan, it's going to be something better, only if we can have a free society could it possibly be something better. Anything and everything else will be worse. Okay? I don't even know. If you're thinking about the election, get over it. Whoever wins that election is going to fully support whatever Bill Gates up your butt bullshit he wants to do. If he wants to give everybody a colonoscopy, if Bill Gates wakes up and realizes the only way to test for corona, if Bill Gates wakes up and says, you know, we've been researching the virus at the labs at Red Mound in Washington State near Microsoft campus, and we've determined that the virus itself can only be detected in the anal canal and only can be detected if you use a very abrasive insertional device called a drumbozoid. And the drumbozoid goes up the sphincter and has a camera and a laser and a tiny little chainsaw. Yeah, we might be doing some cutting. Yeah, you know, that's not going to feel good. It's not going to feel, it's going to be very uncomfortable, but it's the only way to detect the virus with 100% reliability. It's a lot like that fucking tortoise test, you know, in Blade Runner. Except in this case, it's like, will you allow someone to take something called the drumbozoid and shove it up your butt? And better yet, would you allow that to be done to someone you care about? And you know what, guys? Dan, they're never going to do a test like that. Well, don't say never. But have you seen the COVID test where they shove that fucking thing up your nose? Almost to the point of touching your brain? Who the fuck knows what they're doing? Who the fuck knows what the reason for that is? If you think it's an accurate test for the COVID, I don't think so. It might be a way of testing how obedient you are. Like, they might actually be taking, like, I think the purpose might be just as a general kind of test on the population. Let's keep track of what percentage of the population will allow some fucking idiot stranger to shove a plastic fucking thing up their nose. That's the fucking reason. Anyways, I was thinking about my dad, and I was thinking about those summers, and they weren't perfect, and I had lots of issues with my dad, and he probably had issues with me. And he died when I was 23, so it was years ago. It's ancient history. My dad is ancient history. I loved him as best I could. He did the best he could, but he was gone a long time ago, and that happens in life. I don't know. I was going to mention the tree people. You know, we had these people at Mount Vernon High School. We called them the tree people. And I think back, I think I should have been a tree person. If I had been a tree person back then, maybe my life would have been better. But the tree people were the people that hung out by this big tree and smoked weed. They were the kids. They were the kids that listened to Depeche Mode or whatever fucking they listened to. They would, you know, they would listen to fucking who knows what. They would listen to maybe U2 or something. And they would hang out by the tree listening to Guns N' Roses, or actually, no, GNR. GNR, not Guns N' Roses. And maybe they would listen to a little bit of Led Zeppelin and they would smoke their weed. And those were the tree people. And, you know, you can make fun of them all you want to, but looking back, I think they knew the deal before I did, before any of us did. They understood. And probably they ended up being very successful because, you know what? They understood that high school was total bullshit. When I was in high school, I thought it was only 50% bullshit. Like, that was my general theory. It's only half bullshit. No, they knew the truth. They knew public school was 100%. 100% bullshit, public school. That's right. Public school was 100% bullshit. I only thought it was 50%. I was wrong. I was wrong. I was wrong about so many things as a young person. That was one of them. I don't know why I mention it. Don't know why I bring it up. This has been a random fucking Little Saigon report. If you're saying to yourself, Dan, why do you have to be a son of a bitch? You know what? I don't have any reason to give you. You choose to manifest whatever life you want to. If you want life to become golden and possible, if you want life to be occupied by unicorn dreams and hookers with machine guns, if you want to manifest an existence of energy beams and space and star travel and all sorts of bizarre things that could happen at a bar on Alderaan, if you want to be the Darth Vader of tomorrow or the Han Solo of today, do you want to be Captain Kirk? Well, you better get to work. Get to work on love. Get to work on love. And also, if I just may point this out, just so people understand this, and there's no fucking rinky-dinky, nobody warned me. A lot of hand cream contains monkey sperm. Just be careful. Monkey sperm can contain monkey herpes, monkey smallpox. It contains double, triple monkey secret COVID. If your hand cream contains monkey sperm, yes, your hands will start feeling better, but then they're going to start doing weird things. Your hands, you'll lose control of your hands. You'll lose control of your fingers. You'll lose control of your love. So please be careful of hand cream that contains monkey sperm.